Blog Talk Radio.
Mika's in the house early. What up, Meek?
Mika.
What's going on? Hey, don't judge me. I'm still awake. That's all it is.
Yeah, same here. Yo, what up? What up? What's going on, everybody? Another episode of the Menu on Blog Talk Radio. Big Red, Brother B, Mika in the house. What's good? What's good?
Yeah. Mika.
How you doing, Mika? How you doing, Mika?
I'm fine.
How you doing?
I'm fine. I didn't forget you. I actually just got some new surprises.
Nah. It's all good. It's all right. I ain't stressing. It's fine. I know you got me. I know. That's why I ain't stressing. I ain't stressing you at all. I know. What up, Red? What's poppin'?
I'm fine. I just want to, you know, I'm just sitting here. I watch Court TV. I've been watching Court TV for the last, I like Court TV. I really do. I like Court TV because a lot of those cases are very interesting. And you know what? All I can say is that, you know, the cases that I've been hearing or hear, it's just like, you just have no idea the crazy-ish that people do in this world. Some of those cases are just so like they're unbelievable. Like, I'll just say they follow the cases. Like, when they have these cases, they follow them. So there's one with a man, an older man. He might have been about, I think, 70 years old at the time. And it was another man in the movie. This is a movie theater. Now, before the movie even started, the younger guy, he was with his wife, and they had a small child. So he supposedly was on his phone texting his baby, said, I don't know. So now the older man was with his wife in the movie theater, and I guess he didn't like the fact that he was on phone. I think this happened back in 2014. So long story short, they got into some type of argument because the older man didn't like the fact that he was on his phone, and then the younger man got in his face. And I think they had a little confrontation. I think he threw either his cell phone, the younger man, I think he either threw his cell phone or I think it was popcorn. I think it was popcorn or his cell phone or maybe both. He threw it at the older man. Guess what the older man did? And then he was a retired officer. He pulled out his gun and killed the man. Killed the younger guy. So now he's in jail. Now at this time. Yeah, so now the man, you know, the older man, he's like, you know, like 80 years old, like, you know, about probably 80 years old now. And now they're in court because he's trying to, you know, do like a self-defense thing or whatever, whatever. But my thing is, like, you have that much anger. And I don't know if it was anger. I don't know if it was he was scared because, you know, he's an older man. But guess what? He wasn't an older, like, really frail. He was an older man, but he was kind of, you know, like kind of big compared, like almost the same size as the younger guy. I don't know if it was a fear, anything, but for you to pull out your gun and you killed this man. Now you killed this man. He had a small child at the time. And, you know, it's like people just I don't know.
You gotta look at it like this. It all boils down to intent. And that's why they have court and they have these people come in and, you know, they hear cases and you know, they basically trying to, you know, throw evidence at them. And, you know, they just sit there and try to go through, like, well, what was the person's intent? And the whole thing is, yeah, right. He can say he was scared. He can say that he felt, you know, he was in fear of his life. But,
right.
You know, it was an argument.
Yeah.
Dude had a cell phone. I mean, what was the purpose of it escalating to that level? Like, is
right,
that
absolutely.
Serious? I mean,
he
if you got a gun on you, if you got a gun on you, sad part about it is you already know you got the upper hand. So why
right.
even go that far? You know what I'm saying? Like, what the only, you know, what could have jumped off to the point where you felt that you had to do that to somebody? But, what happened?
No, the older man's wife, when she was on the stand, she was saying, not to cut you off, she was just saying that, oh, the younger guy was, you know, like yelling in his face or tried to yell in his face. And
so,
you know, he said that the guy went over the chair and I don't know.
Well, listen, my thing is this. If you were the aggressor, there was no purpose because apparently the argument started because the old man with the gun, the retired officer with the gun, didn't like what was going on with the other guy. So basically you were the initiator, you know, of the whole situation.
Right. Yeah,
so,
yeah.
I mean, in my opinion, you know, if I was a jury, I'd be like, yo, hang him. Like he knew what he was doing from start to finish.
Mm-hmm.
Like you can't, you know what I'm saying? Like, especially you call yourself, he's supposed to be, he retired from the job. So you should have some type of, you should have some type of, you know,
technique?
Yeah, but you know, but the whole thing is, but the whole thing is, sadly, that job title excuses all of that. You don't have to have that.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we'll get into that later on tonight. Once
right.
again, what up, everybody? It's the menu on Blog Talk Radio. Big Red, Brother B, Mika in the house. Guest caller numbers 347-324-3395. That is 347-324-3395. You can catch me on Instagram, Brother B. I think it's _74. Twitter at Brother B Vision 7. Facebook, the menu, Mind Your Mental. MindURMENTAL, and the same on Instagram, the menu, MindURMENTAL, mind your mental. But before before we go into the topic, I have to give a shout out to our listeners across, you know, the pond and others, Thailand. Good looking. Thanks for listening, man. Hope to go there one day. I heard it's quite interesting over in Thailand. But,
yes,
yo, thank
like
you,
Thailand,
for listening. Yeah, yo, Canada, good looking. Thank you for listening. United Kingdom, what's up, mates? Thank you for listening. India, oh, much obliged. And, of course, United States, thank you. Me and Red, thank you for the love. We do appreciate
you.
It, you know, and
everyone
yeah,
across the world.
Yeah, we keep rocking. So let's get into our topic for tonight. Now, this is Red topic. So I'm going to let Red.
How's it Red? Don't somebody, you know, he's putting it on me.
It's Red topic. It's Red topic. Red. I did some reading on it. So, yeah, it was quite interesting. I did some reading because actually there was an article that she – it was an interview with Essence that she did. And I read that. So it was like from the video clip that you sent me compared to what I was reading, it was kind of like very much, you know, different, whatever that guy was saying compared to what she was saying. But, all right, why
– Well, he's a comedian, so, you know, he had to make it funny, but it's...
Oh, he is?
Yeah, he's a comedian, yeah. That
oh, you know, I don't know these things. I don't know these things. So just in case, Mika, you know what this topic is, this topic is about. All right, so it's a gospel singer. Okay, so it's a gospel singer
Lord.
By the name of Kira...
You could pronounce Kira Sherrod?
Yeah, Sherrod, yeah. I'm sorry for, you know, botching up her name.
Yeah, I can never think of her name.
Apparently, she had she did an interview with Essence, and she was talking about how you know, when her friends, if she has friends over, like, you know, out of town, and they come over, she has them, you know, she would prefer them stay in a hotel, or she would put them up in a hotel rather than her come to, them come to the house and stay there, okay, you know, with her and her husband. So the comedian was kind of, you know, his whole take on it, how he was doing it was, now that Red told me he's a comedian, he, you know, and this is not the first time I've heard about it, because someone else brought the topic up to me as well, about, I guess maybe there's some type of insecurity issues. Like, if you gotta, if you can't allow your friends to stay at your house, you know, like with your husband or your wife there, then either you don't trust your wife or you don't trust your friend. Now, that's the way it was, you know, kind of put, you know, if you watch the clip with the comedian. Now, Red, I'm going to chime in, you know, a little later on it, you know, after Mika. But what do you think about that whole, you know, thing?
Okay. I'll say this about that. Okay. What I say, and I have put that in the comments when the guy, like I said, I follow him on Facebook. And I think, Facebook and Instagram. So I have put in the comments, listen, maybe it's the,
You know his name?
Wellington, I think it's Wellington Juku or something like that. Wait, let me get the proper sounding or the pronunciation of his name. Wellington Juku.
Okay.
That's his name, Wellington Juku. I've been following him for a number of years. He's funny. He does stand up, you know, different places. And so he's not really known like that, but he does it, like, a lot on social media. But he goes to other places. And does,
he has a following.
And up in, he has a following. So from what, like I said, I'll say this with that. I had somebody, another young lady had put in the comments, and she said the same thing that I said. She said maybe it's not the females that she don't trust. Maybe it's her husband she doesn't trust. So I had said the same thing. I said, you know what? That's the sad part about it with women. Why we always go for, I can't trust my girlfriend. Maybe it's your man you can't trust. And to me, and this is just my personal, I've always felt that when a woman says things like that, maybe it's not your friends you can't trust. Maybe it's your husband. Because as I say, everybody knows their mate. If you've been with this person for a number of years or whatever, you know your mate. Maybe she's caught him trying to get at one of her friends. It may not be necessarily the friends that are interested in it. It may be that one, maybe he tried to do, you know, come at one of them. So now I'll say this also, you know, growing up, once again, my mother and father were married. And my mother had friends. She had single friends. She had married friends. But it was never a thing of anybody, like I've never seen or heard of any funny business between my dad and one of her friends. It was just that friendship. Everybody was around. But my father, once again, we had different, you know, in this day and age is different from back then, you know, men, you know, like I said, when the girlfriends came over, they came over, the man would go in the other room. Well, he, you know, go about his business, or he'd be at work at night, whatever. But my mother never was that type of woman to have a whole bunch of women in the house or even just people in the house, period. That's not how we were brought up, you know. And if she, you know, like I said, if she did have a girlfriend, it was one girl. We had somebody, a lady that lived across the hall from us, and she was single, and that was my mother's friend. They was best friends, you know, best friends. And she knew my mother was married, and it wasn't no beef. It wasn't no, you know, thing like that where she, you can't come to my house while my husband, you know. It was never nothing like that. So I think nowadays it's a little different because, once again, it's too much out there. It's too much choices. People don't have morals like they used to. They don't think about the fact that, you know, that person is married and, you know, yes, her, you know, if she's married, and I don't care if the man flirting with you or he do things, you know, that's off limits. You know that's off limits. But, you know, some of these women these days, they don't care about that. Now, it's not a thing of, okay, you don't know that person or y'all don't know each other, and that's just, you know, something on the outside. But if this is a woman that you've been, you know, friends with, and this is your girl, and y'all been friends since a certain age, and then, you know, you trying to go after a man or he try to go, you know, It's just like people just don't have morals and values like they used to. So that's, you know, there's other stuff, but we'll get into all the other things.
Okay, Mika, your thoughts?
Well, I'm see, I'm going to be good tonight because I'm buzzed. So.
Oh, Lord. Okay.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. Okay.
So, yeah, you're going to have to bear with me. Anyway, I will say this. This I will say. There's just no trust, period. There's none. She's insecure, and she don't trust anyone around anyone. That's all it is. Because me, man, everybody come by, you overstep, you get punched, and you leave, and that's it. But I don't think she trusts any of them at all to be in the same room. Or, you know, that's just it. She just doesn't trust anyone. And she needs to work on that. If she don't trust him, she shouldn't be with him. And if she don't trust them, she shouldn't be fucking with them. Let's be real.
Right.
You know, you don't have, I don't care how much love you have. I don't care if you're in love. If there is no trust, I don't need you around me. Harsh? Yes. It is what it is. Why would you want that around you? Because all that is drama. I'm too old for that. I'm not trying to sit there and be worried about my girls hitting on my man any more than I'm going to be sitting there worried about my man hitting on my girl. How about I just get a whole new set of people? How about that?
Right.
And I've been known to just cut people off. Because I family off if they got too much drama with them.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not beat. The older I get, the less tolerance I have. So in a situation like that, she needs to work on herself and figure out what her issue is. Because if she don't trust her man, she needs to figure out why she don't trust her man and say bye-bye. If she don't trust her girls, same rules apply.
Right, it's just circle you keep around you.
And people don't want to pick their circles carefully. Let's be real. People don't pick their circles half as carefully as they used to. They don't. You know, everybody's so busy meeting up online and living these freaking social media lives, which I find funny. You guys have been on my page enough to know I just sit up there and talk mess all day. Because it's fun.
I love the mess you talk.
Listen.
Oh, Lord.
That's all I do. Listen. Oh, stop, Brother B, because you've been on my page and you've seen a lot of the stuff I post.
Yeah, it's kind of weird, but okay. I got you.
Kind of weird. Come on, you'll be having a crap day. Let's be real. You'll be having a crap day, and you'll hit something on my page, and that's it. You're not feeling so bad. But that's what I do. I would rather be happy in my existence instead of worried about shit that I don't need to worry about. I have real important things to worry about. I have kids. I have, you know, I got bills and all of that. I shouldn't have to sit there and worry about your intentions if you're in my life. I shouldn't.
Alright.
No point.
Alright. True. Well, welcome, Selena. Welcome.
Hello.
Welcome.
Welcome back.
Welcome back.
Yeah.
Man, listen.
I know
you're
busy. I know.
A bunch of stuff going on, but I'm happy to be back.
Yeah, that's good.
Glad to have you back.
So yeah, you know what I'm saying? So what do you think about the state, if you're familiar with,
I'm familiar.
Kiara Sherrard. Okay, so how do you take it?
The crazy part is, y'all know that I always have a different aspect and a different outlook on things. And the crazy part is, I beg to differ. I definitely beg to differ. If you've ever been in a situation, it doesn't have to be intent. People don't have to have intentions for things to happen, right? So sometimes you can naturally put two people in a room and chemistry happens, and next thing you know, they say, you know, one thing led to another, boom, bada bing, bada boom. Stuff happens. Now, men are naturally, they're human beings, right? Men have temptations, so do women. And sometimes when two people are in a room, things can happen. I think that she's protecting what's sacred, her marriage. You know, your man ain't everybody's man. You know, your friends ain't everybody's friends. So I think that she has a sense where she's protecting her marriage. And unfortunately, yeah, I'm sorry. if I'm married and my husband's at home and my girl's coming to town, my house is not the place to be running around and me to be telling you what type of shorts you need to be putting on around my man. I don't need any temptations. It's not about he don't love me. It's not about I don't trust him. I don't know. I don't need to put him in no type of situation where temptations can fly, natural chemistry, next thing you know, whatever. He looked at her in a type of way or whatever the case may be. I don't need to insert my man, my husband, to any of that stuff. So why not just keep it separate? Separate.
Okay. Okay.
Well, I'll say once again, then, I'm sorry, Brother B, I have to just interject this here. As that being, once again, if that's your girlfriend and these women or women, if she's a, I'll say she's a single woman, she knows that you have a husband at home and she's coming into town to maybe spend a couple of days just to chill with you or whatever. Once again, she should know how to properly dress herself. She shouldn't be running around with short shorts on knowing that you have a man. It's just the etiquette. Like, I'll say this with my son. He lives with two young ladies. And one night, I was on the phone with him, and he said something about the young lady's breasts or something like that, one of the girls. So I said, wait a minute. So I think he said she had on a T-shirt. He said something, and he was like, oh, why your breasts? Why your nipple or something like that? When he said it, I said, why? I said, let me ask you a question. I said, well, why is she walking around the house without a bra on? He was like, oh, my. I said, no. I said, once again, you're not her boyfriend. I said, so she should have on at least a sports bra or some type of, you know, shirt that's not revealing. I said, even though y'all are friends and y'all are roommates, I said, she shouldn't be walking around like that. And as him being a young man, he didn't really get what I was talking about, but I said, you know, I don't do that. I said, you being my son, I said, I still walked around the house. Y'all still see me wear appropriate stuff in the house, even though y'all are my sons, but I wore appropriate things around the house because that's just who I am. I said, but you should be having on a...
What happens when you run into somebody who does not have the etiquette that you have? And
right,
now
absolutely. You are absolutely right about that. Exactly.
Where temptation can fly and stuff like that. See, the thing is, I'm kind of old school. Ask your grandmother. If you're still blessed to have a grandmother, ask your grandmother, ask your elderly aunt, if they have friends coming over in their household with their husbands. No, and their marriages last a long time.
My mother-in-law was married for 25 years. And my mother had friends that were single.
All I'm saying is don't put your man in position to do the natural thing that he's only going to do.
Okay. Okay, so this is... Now, I read... I saw the video. I saw the video that the guy did. And, I read the article. So I got a real take on it. Because, you know, of where she was coming from with it, and I get it more than ever now. I mean, one thing, and you've heard me say it before, Red, Mika, Selena, you've heard me say it before, yo, discretion. You know, this woman, Kira shared, sorry if I'm messing her name up again, she's very much of the church. Her mother, you know, being one of the Clark sisters, who's very deep in the church game, you know, there's certain ways you conduct yourself. And I think from what I gathered from and what she was saying, it's more of a belief thing. It's more religious. Like, it's certain things that you just don't do. You know, it's about setting boundaries and a certain respect. Like, to be honest with you, if the wife tells me, hey, I got a friend coming over, she's going to spend the night, would I be greatly comfortable with that? Not really. But at the same time, you know, because I have to limit my movements, you know, around the house. The only reason why I would be, somewhat uncomfortable is because, I got to basically wear a three-piece suit around the damn house. So I can't really be comfortable as I want or free as I want in my own, in my own home. luckily I have a bedroom in my bathroom, so I don't have to worry about, you know, any other, you know, interaction other than, you know, the common space of living room or in the kitchen. But, you know, there's certain things that, like you said earlier, even with the elders, you never really had a whole bunch of people over at the house, you know, and things like that. People spending the night, you know, you had your family functions or you had functions where, you know, friends came over, this, that, but after that, everybody went home.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there really wasn't no spending the night unless it's maybe,
unless it was,
you know,
extreme.
That one sister. Yeah, yeah, like my
right.
Aunt,
it was,
you know,
unless it was something extreme.
Was
maybe
with,
it was, you know, bad weather.
The weather,
or, you know,
or it was just mad extreme. Crazy late, you know, and the trains was messed up or something like that. But other than that, it's like no, you got to go home. So with her talking about having her friends, you know, stay at a hotel, I think it's a thing where I don't know if it's a thing of insecurity. I mean, it could be a possible, you know, little insecure thing there. But I think it's more based on how she grew up, you know, religious-wise, and, mm-hmm. you know, what's been instilled in her. And once again, not just nowadays, but I think maybe over the past, 15 years, especially with social media started to really kick in, discretion has really become, like, null and void. Like, people just want to air everything. So, yeah,
right.
You can have that friend coming over, and she's wearing the tight ass, you know, leggings and this, that, and the third. Now, it doesn't always have to be a man who's, you know, looking at her like a steak. It could be her, you know, or it just could be two people. It could be two people who don't have any intentions at all. But like you said, shit happens. You know, you don't want to start, you know, you don't want to start any eyes roving or anything like that. You know, apparently, you know, she's newly married. She's been married a year, you know, to this guy.
Oh, she
and,
well, I thought she was married for a number of years with that dude. Well, now I can see why.
I mean,
she's
from what I got from
like
the article, yeah, what I got from the article. So, you know, my thing is, like I said,
and
I'm
gonna say this also, brother B, not to cut you off. You can wear a burlap sacks, and men will find some way to look at you in a sexual way. So that's just how that go. But go ahead.
I mean, this is true. But you know what? Once again, your home is different. Your home is a castle. And you just can't have anybody, you know, just anybody, you know, coming in.
And not only
in
that, Brother B, also state that where she got it from. She got it from her elders. That was a rule that was passed down to her elders. From her elders telling her, this is what you do. You protect your home. You protect your king. This ain't just your house. This your king's house, too. So while you thinking, oh, my girls, those ain't his girls. Girls. The same with and vice versa. Yeah. If he wanted to say, yo, my fellas, he got to understand that he got a wife at home that like to wear whatever she got to wear. So I should have to tonight throw on sweats. Because my man decided he going to throw his mans in the mix. I might have wanted to walk around in lingerie.
Right.
So we got to respect each other. We got to respect each other. This is our home. So, you know, your friends can stay in town. And I thought it was even dope that she said, listen, I put them up. I'll pay for their room. They can't stay in my kingdom. But I definitely will pay for them to have a room so that they stay. And that they safe and sound, and they could just be, you know what I'm saying, wherever. They're not stuck nowhere. They're not stranded. I ain't going to leave my friends hanging, but they're going to have somewhere to stay. It just ain't going to be me and my man's home. I'm with it.
And now, listen, and check this out. So if the situation was reversed, I'm coming into town. You know, my man is like, hey, man, you know, you can stay at the house. Me, personally, I wouldn't feel comfortable. I wouldn't feel comfortable. I wouldn't. It's like, nah. Like, that's your house. That's your family in there. You know, I would feel like I would make his wife, you know, uncomfortable. Because, you know, I don't know her like that. She may not know me like that. And even if we did know each other like that, like you said, that's your castle. You know what I'm saying? Like, you be free and comfortable to do how you do. I can go stay in a hotel room and chill, and we can catch up
right,
in the morning or in the afternoon or whatever else.
No,
but
everybody,
true.
Like as Karina said, she said that she would, you know, she's going to put up her friends, but everybody doesn't have that luxury. Yeah, she can do that because she's making money to do those type of things. But what about people, like I said, that we're talking about normal people that have, once again, you have friends, this friend that you know since second or third grade. Okay, you're married now, and she wants to, you know, she wants to come into town. See, not everybody has that luxury to say, okay, I can go stay in a hotel. They don't always
my
have that.
Would be, if my friends know that I'm married, then they understand that any plans that they had, they should understand that that has to be discussed with my husband. I can't just give you the okay to stay because you stranded. So there's a protocol in your marriage. You don't get to just make that decision because my homegirls are stranded. So if they came and they, whatever, even if it was last minute, I would hope that they was responsible enough to have a plan B. God forbid they got drunk, whatever the case may be, that they could stay somewhere else if they're out of town and they can't make it home. Like, forget something happening. Let's talk about how the discretion. I could walk into a room, right? You bent over getting a soda out the bottom of the refrigerator. My man is sitting in is standing in the kitchen waiting to get in the refrigerator. What does that look like to me when I walk into that room? Now, we got problems because I let my homegirl stay. Meanwhile, he wasn't even trying to come on to her, but it looked weird because she bent over in the refrigerator and he waiting to get something out the refrigerator. Something
in the
first
of all,
okay,
me,
so what if her,
I wouldn't even go in the kitchen.
Okay,
in no situation where it could be something different, where you could take it out of context or it could be seen in a different way. And the first thing he's going to say to you is, you don't want to have her stay here. I wasn't looking at her like that. So if you had a problem and it looked like that, that's on you. So I wouldn't put my man or my marriage in.
Well,
no,
what if the husband is agreement? What if they discussed it and he said, all right, nah, she could stay, not a problem. Listen, that's your girl. Listen.
Now that's on us. But I would hope that you as a wife, like, unless there's a basement, a dungeon, she could stay in. You're not staying in my house on the same floor. I'm just sorry. I ain't doing it. It ain't got nothing to do with me being insecure. It's about me protecting my marriage at all costs so that nothing won't interfere, not even my friends.
Well, you know what? I got to agree because my thing is I'm not, like, first of all, if I get up, and the wife's friend, you know, my wife's friend is in the kitchen. I'm not going in the kitchen. So right there, that creates
right.
an atmosphere. It's uncomfortable. It's a not comfortable situation. It's nothing against her. But me personally, I would feel like it's inappropriate for us to be in that space. And, like, let's say my wife is in the other room or something like that. Like, I'm getting up to get a soda or something or a juice or whatever for me and her. You know, I'm coming out the room and she's in the kitchen, you know, making a sandwich or whatever. Like, I don't want to go in there while she's in there. I'm going to go back to the room and say, yo, you got to go in there and get something. Like, you got to go in there because I'm not going in there with her because nothing did me not be any intent, but it's just being in the same space. And I don't know how anybody else would take it, but it wouldn't be comfortable for me at all. And even, like I said earlier, going to a friend's house, like, I don't want that type of hang up.
Y'all talking about friends. I'm talking about women in general. My sister, my cousin from out of town, my niece who's up
okay.
age.
I still wouldn't want to be involved.
No, but I'm
I
saying
can't.
Them too. You know, you can't. You know, that's another thing. You know, just because they family, yeah, of course you
right.
can't trust
nobody
that in, too. To nobody. Nobody. Save. I'm not. You know, family or friends. Or female, and then, like I said, wife and men as well.
But like I said, I think it really comes from, you know, just a more religious standpoint, like you said earlier, Selena. It's what she grew up in, you know, is what
right.
is ingrained in her. You
I'm
going to
say that, and I'm
you know, going to
say
elders.
This about the religious thing, and some people may not like what I'm going to say, but I'm going to tell you this. In that religious thing, that's the most where you see most of that going on. Okay, I grew up in that.
Yeah, in some cases,
a lot of that goes on,
you know,
in church houses.
General thing. How many girls you see? That's this is the thing. How many women you know go bragging back to their friends how great their husband is? And, oh, girl.
Oh, yeah.
You think your friends don't want to know about that personally?
Absolutely. That's right.
Here you go going, oh, she ain't got nowhere to stay. Can't she stay here? Yeah, okay.
Yep, absolutely.
So, you know,
yep,
these are the people that we go back and we talk about how great our king is and how he massages my feet and he does this and he does that. And she ain't got nobody. Clearly she ain't got nobody. She needs to stay at your house. And then you wonder why she's trying to test your man out? Come on, man. I ain't doing it. Nope.
Yeah, but
and
at the same time, once again, the woman shouldn't be bragging about to the next woman. If that's if she knows that's her husband, okay, that's your husband. I don't need to know all of that extra stuff and what he do and how he do. We just cool. That's your husband. All right, not a problem. That's your man. You know, all right, we got you a nice one. That's nice. But my thing is sometimes women tell too much. You don't have to tell your girlfriend what he did to you last night and what he ate and all that. You ain't got to tell him all of that. Once again, as Brother B said earlier, it's too much. You don't have to say
discretion,
all your business to everybody. Discretion. You do not have to tell. I don't care how long you've known that woman. You don't have to tell what he does and what he don't do and what he does. They know that and that's it. Ain't gotta be all of that.
You don't even have to brag these days. You can simply say your man cooked for you. If you're talking about something another chick don't have, she wants it, she's gonna test it. You don't even have to talk about he ate this, he did this, he did that. He simply made you roasted chicken last night with braised asparagus, and you like, it was so good. Yeah, she want to know about that.
Because you been fried now.
You might as well just say he can't cook, he's bad in bed, and she still
absolutely
want to know.
Say,
it's true.
Hey, you say that, and they still going to be, oh, yeah, girl, he can't cook.
Yeah, she want to know this too. Like, maybe
he
might not be that bad. Let me check it out. Like,
what did you say?
I teach him how to cook.
You can say he a bad cook.
What you say, Mika?
Listen, you can say he a bad cook. He bad in sex. She gonna think to herself, well, I ain't got nobody. I could teach him how to cook. I could be good in bed with him.
I teach him how to cook.
I'm telling you, these women cannot be trusted. If you got somebody, you better protect it. At all costs. There ain't that many good men out here. If you got a good one, protect it at all costs. Don't even trust your granny around them, no?
Yo, I'm telling you.
Oh, Lord. Listen, oh, my gosh. I'm trying to come back after that. Yeah, boundaries, you know, have to be set, I guess, of course, on both sides. You know, both boundaries have to be set. I mean, listen, if I had a homeboy, my brother's, let me crash at the, let me crash at your crib for the night, this, that, and the third. I mean, listen, that could be my ace. Like I said, my brother, you know, I'm not going to feel comfortable. And it's not because I don't trust him. It's not because I don't trust, my wife. It's just something, it's not a pattern of what I do. It's like I don't do that. Like if I don't go to his house or anybody else's house to do that, for somebody else to do it is going to make me, uncomfortable, anyway. Now, maybe if I came up with that, came up in that type of thing where, oh, yeah, people came over and spent the night a lot and hung out and this, that, and that, maybe I would look at it differently. But since I'm not about that life and me, myself, I can't see myself going to my boy's house and be like, oh, man, let me crash on your couch, And even still, listen, my homeboy, come through. We get drunk. Listen, nah, man, I'm going to go sleep in my car. Nah, you can crash on the couch. He can be single. Like, I don't feel comfortable. Like, I got a home.
Yeah.
And that's the thing that the elders used to say back in the day. Listen, I got a damn home to go to, and that's where I'm going. I got my own bed, got my own house, my own keys. I got someplace else to be, and I'm going to be there. And that's where I'm at with it. So, discretion, yeah, that's a big thing too. But you know what? I need to take my black ass home, and that's just that. Like I gotta go back home. You know, I don't want to inconvenience anyone, or I don't want to not be comfortable, because I don't want to sleep on somebody's couch in my jeans and shirt. No, I don't feel like doing all that. Like I said, goddamn it, I'm grown. I don't want to be bothered with that.
Yeah, so it may not be insecure. It may be she's so sure about this guy that she ain't letting nothing go down. Nothing. I'm so sure about this one that I ain't letting nothing go down. Not my friends, not my aunties, not my sisters. Ain't nothing going down.
You know what? Interpretation can be an MFA. And you can see something that you ain't really seeing, but your mind is going to be like, wait a minute, did I just see what I thought I saw? And it's like, yo, you didn't even see, like, that's not what was even going on. So you don't even want to open up the gates
right
for any of that. You know what I'm saying? It's like they used to say, don't start none, won't be none. So if you don't put anybody in a situation like that, you won't have to worry about it. You won't have to deal with
Brother
it.
Brother B, if I walk into the kitchen, she bent over in the refrigerator getting a drink, and you standing behind her, I'm like, what are you looking at?
First of all, like I said,
you like, I'm just waiting
I
to get my soda.
Listen, I go to the store first. I put my clothes on and go to the store. You be like, yo, this soda in the fridge. Nah, you're your homegirl in the kitchen. I'm gonna go down the
store
and look at something like this. I'm not doing it.
Look like you looking at her ass. Why are you standing behind her while she in the refrigerator?
Exactly.
You like, I'm just trying to drink after her.
And you know what? It's your man
at all costs. Especially if you got a good one.
Yeah, well, I mean, like I said, it goes the other way too. You know, dudes have to, you know, protect their queen. You know, and you don't want to ruin a friendship over something that you think you may have seen, and that's not the case. Like, you don't want to look at your people suspect. Like, I don't know. I could never, you know.
Like I said, I've never had that.
I can't
issue.
Fathom looking at. Yeah,
nobody ever had that
I can
issue
never
with
look
me.
At, exactly. I can't look at my brothers
issue.
Like that. But at the same time, I wouldn't put my brothers in that type of situation either. So I can get where she's coming from with that.
We've been around,
you know,
without a husband situation, but not because you're sorry. Not husband situation. But no, matter of fact, yeah, I got friends that ask husbands. I ain't never had that issue. And they never had that issue with me. And I've had, you know, little boyfriends. I ain't never had that issue at all. Never. I think it's the company that you keep. That's how I see it. I ain't never had them problems.
We don't. We don't want that. But all right, on to our next topic. I don't know if anyone is really familiar with this case. Amir Locke, 2-year-old. You know, young black man was fatally shot on February 2nd, 2022, by a SWAT officer of the Minneapolis Police Department inside an apartment in Minneapolis, Minnesota, while the police were executing a no-knock warrant in, you know, ongoing homicide investigation. So, you know, I read a couple of different articles. And you know what was crazy about it? It was a bunch of fluff, because it seemed like they just kept trying to, you know, allude to the fact that this young man was on the couch, sleep. Did he have a firearm in his hand? Yes, he did.
Yes.
Was it pointed at the cops? No, I mean, well, look at it like this. Yeah. It's a no-knock warrant. I don't care how somebody wants to try and clean it up or make it logical. Because we looked at the situation with Breonna Taylor. A no-knock warrant.
Right.
You just burst into the house. Now, listen, I'm a firearms owner. Yeah. You come in my house. Listen, I have every right legally to defend my castle, my property, and everyone within, if you bust in the door. Now, the thing is, who's busting in the door?
They quietly unlocked the door. I watched the video. They didn't bust in. They quietly unlocked the door.
Exactly. So that right there, that's a recipe for disaster. And of course, the sad part is, yeah, somebody died. This young man was shot. Mm-hmm. And the officer that did shoot him is on administrative duty. I know they're going to probably try to find some way to clean it up because his firearm. Yeah, no, they did release it. I wound up.
Oh, they did.
Like I said, I read a couple of articles. Yeah, they released his name, and he had a legal firearm. Now, no one knows what was going on in his life or what was going on in that apartment for him to be sleeping with a damn firearm. Apparently, the person that they were looking for was his cousin, who was apparently involved. Bless you, who was involved in a homicide that mm-hmm. they were investigating. But apparently, they had three warrants for three different apartments because they were looking for his cousin,
right.
And they just happened to go into that one, yeah, quietly, and. Of course, when you go in, it's a no-knock warrant. You're going in there quietly. You're not announcing yourself. No one knows that there's this police coming in the door. But you got somebody laying on the couch, asleep, under a blanket, with a gun in his hand. And like I said, we don't know why he had the gun in his hand. We really don't know what the situation was.
Right.
But, you know, of course, the media... And sad to say, law enforcement officials were trying to twist it to make it seem like, because some of the stories that I was reading, they one of them tried to, well, the officers tried to say that he pointed the firearm at them. Now, if I'm laying on the couch and there's intruders in my home, what do you think I'm going to do?
Right.
One of the officers kicked the couch.
Right.
Which startled him. And... Of course, he has the gun in his hand. So what did you really think was going to happen? But his first inclination was, I guess, to just shoot. And that's what he did.
Right.
And once again, this echoes the whole Breonna Taylor thing. Now, they did temporarily stop the whole no-knock warrant thing. But I guess it wasn't, I guess it was like they said temporary. Because officers are still applying for them and they're still getting them. And I don't know why. You know, when it just goes to show you, or it makes me feel, that when they conduct these no-knock warrants, they know who they're looking for. They know it's a person, you know, it's a black person. So they go in there, oh, it's dangerous. You know, make sure you get home to your wife and kids or whatever. You go in there, you got to shoot first, ask questions later, and do it. You know, all this bullshit bravado. And when someone dies, it doesn't matter because it's not one of them. They don't care. It's another black person. Don't matter.
Yes,
and someone can come on.
Job.
Yeah, now someone can come along and say, yo, you know, that's unfair. But how unfair is it really when it seems like it just keeps happening? Because, once again, if you look at the Breonna Taylor situation, oh, they wanted to throw dirt on her name.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that was her fault for dating a drug dealer. You know, who cares who she dated? Who cares who she used to date? Not her current boyfriend. And if you notice in both cases, both gentlemen, the one that just died, Amir Locke, and the one from Breonna Taylor, her current boyfriend at that time, who shot at the cops, both of them were legal firearms owners. So I know from carrying a firearm, being an owner, if you come to my address, cops are going to know, oh, this guy, he's a firearms owner. He lives there, and he has firearms. They automatically know.
Right.
So somewhere, someone along the line, unless that wasn't his address, which none of the stories said that it wasn't, how could they not have known that there was a firearm somewhere in
and
house?
And then the warrant wasn't like a
firearm.
The warrant wasn't even in his name. His name wasn't
nope,
even
name
on
name wasn't on there. No, but they saw, you know, they came in, like you said, quietly, saw somebody on the couch, kicked the couch. And
automatically.
Yeah. But... Other reports saying that he didn't point the firearm at them. See, that's one thing about news reports in the media that it really just disgusts me. You know, people will try and twist it because not everybody can be objective about things. So, you know, you're going to have this pro-police attitude with some of these media outlets. And they're going to be like, yeah, pro-law enforcement. And, you know, they're going to twist the story a little bit to favor law enforcement. As to where you have some people that are going to try and drum up sympathy or drum up this type of anger to have everybody out in the streets and make it all controversial. I mean, listen, it is what it is. I don't see the purpose of a no-knock warrant. I don't see the purpose of, you know, now some may say, or law enforcement may say, oh, well, you ain't one of us, so you don't know. It's not the point of, I don't need to be one of you to know that it doesn't make fucking sense to quietly enter a home to do what? You're being a sneak. So what makes you different from a burglar? Why, because you got a badge? Well, the occupants of the home don't even know that at the time. So this young man, who was basically doing everything in the right, he was sitting there sleeping. He had a legal firearm. He's dead. Now, his mother, who went on record to say that, yes, he was always worried about interactions with law enforcement because he's a firearms owner. Because then when you look back at Philando Castile years ago, who was in the car with his girlfriend, baby in the back, and, hey, listen, I'm going to let you know, officer, I got a firearm in the car. This guy jumps, gets scared. Next thing you know, oh, I need you to reach for such and such, and he gets shot. You asked him to reach for something, his ID, but yet then you turn around and shoot him with his girlfriend and the kid in the back. Anyone else have any thoughts on it?
Only thoughts I have is I need to see the body cam. Listen, I get it. I'm tired of seeing us end up with the bad end of the stick. A few other points in this case is that, you know, he was in plans of going home to his mom to pursue his rap career and stuff like that. And, you know, she had logos made for him. He was actually supposed to leave the next day, and he decided to spend the night over at his cousin's house. Unfortunately, I think that, you know, it's an unfortunate situation. However, I do believe in being in the wrong place at the wrong time. Like, this was a homicide investigation. I can't tell you that as a cop that I'm walking into a homicide investigation doing a no-knock warrant, like, nonchalantly. You understand? Like, I'm thinking of guns. I'm thinking a homicide was done. I'm thinking that I'm going in there and my life could be in danger. Now, granted, adrenaline rushing, a no-knock rush, I don't want to give anybody time to move and to do anything with my life, you know, is in danger. So I definitely have consideration and compassion with cops. I know that we tired of being on the other end of the stick. But I can't tell you that when I walk into an investigation for a homicide, knowing what I'm dealing with, that when I walk into this house and I see a gentleman on a couch with a gun in his hand, that I'm not going to make a – listen, he moves a certain – I don't know what the fuck is going to happen. Who's going to die? Who's going to get the bad end of the stick? Mm-hmm. So, yes, I would like to say, hey, sir, what are you doing with that gun in your hand? He wakes up and makes a move and he doesn't shoot me. I would love for that to happen. But do I walk in there that naive? No. So mistakes definitely happen. And was that gentleman, you know, in the wrong place at the wrong time? Yes. And it is unfortunate that he, you know, is a licensed gun holder and had a concealed weapon, but he also was in a place he probably should have never ever been in. And that's another thing his mother said. Hold on. His mother also said that she wished that she had put him in a hotel that night instead of going there. So she knew that was a bad environment for him too.
Yeah, and okay, granted, got you on that.
Like
one.
A homicide investigation, they know that, like, you know what I'm saying? Brianna's, they was looking for her ex-boyfriend. It's two different cases. They were investigating a homicide. I'm not walking in acting like I'm going to get cotton candy out that motherfucker.
But check this out. So they found the cousin.
Uh-huh.
I think it was about 100 miles away, someplace else.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So how good, and listen, I'm not throwing anyone under the bus. You know, I can be sympathetic, and I can understand. You're walking into a situation, yes, it's a homicide. Listen, you trying to tell me with all your detective work and findings and all this and that, you're not sure who's in that apartment? You didn't sit on, you know, you didn't actually
normally,
sit back and
think about it, Brother B. Normally, he would not have been there because
he
only
have been
the night
there
that night before.
But he was in the wrong place
at the wrong time.
I got you. But with all the investigative tactics, you guys didn't know that the dude was 100 miles away? They didn't find him on the complex.
Well, that's
he wasn't nowhere there.
I thought I read that he fled the scene.
The articles that I read, there was no fleeing. I didn't read anything about him fleeing.
I want to see that body cam. I hope they had on body cams. I think that it should be required.
They did have on body cams. Yep. They actually absolutely did.
Yeah, the body cams, but, you know, sometimes it doesn't matter. See, the whole thing is he had a gun. It's about interpretation. And 9 times out of 10, they're going to lose.
That wakes up to police officers, you know, you got a gun on your chest. You wake up to police officers. Can I expect that you're not going to be paranoid and make them?
Do I wait for that move to happen?
Hold on. Let's also flip. What about the two officers who went into New York City and went to help a woman with her mentally challenged son?
Mm-hmm.
Went to help her and ended up didn't making it out. They went into the room to talk to him and he blew their fucking head off.
I'm gonna say my piece and then let you rock, right?
Okay.
I don't think we're finding out all the information about that, to be honest with you. I think there were some mistakes made that are never going to come to light. And I'm just going to leave it at that. I think something went wrong.
I'm going to tell you right now.
Two officers are dead.
I'm going to just say this from what I was reading and from what I heard. Either they ask, once again, as 911 operators, you're supposed to ask, are there any weapons or any injuries? Now, either the operator didn't ask that, or the parent, the mother, didn't tell them that. So guess what you just said, Brother B, is possibly what happened. This is communication there. Because if the operator did her job, she was supposed to ask that. That's the first thing that she's supposed to ask, are there any weapons or any injuries? And she didn't ask.
Well, maybe the mother may have not have known.
Okay, but that's what I'm saying. If the mother may have not have known, but if she did know, then once again, as Selena said, if her son is mentally challenged or has some mental type of issue, once again, you have to give some type of information. And like I said, if she did not disclose, and from what I read, she said that he didn't have any weapons. Okay.
Yeah, but they walked into that situation with the understanding that they were dealing with somebody that was mentally challenged. They did not think that they had to.
And they have special people for that.
So
guess what? They have special people for that.
Totally different mindset and aspect walking in. Now, also, take into consideration now that I'm walking into a homicide investigation. So I'm already on alert. Now, this one, I walked into a mentally challenged and wasn't on high alert, and two officers is dead and one injured. So they doomed if they do, doomed if they don't. Like, plain and simple, well, is always, but it just, you know, let me tell you the bad part, is that it appears that it's always the person that ends up dead is a black folk. And this is where I hate the media, because you don't ever hear about those cases where white folks end up dead. So the media knows how to push out and put out a story to get us riled up. But there are plenty, and I hate to say it, but more white folks die by the hands of the guns of police officers than black folks. We only see the black folks.
Well, my issue is this.
We only see the black folks. Do your research. I've done it.
But, Selena, my issue is not even about color. Or really law enforcement in general, my issue is the no-knock warrant.
Yeah, I agree.
That's
but if
my
we
issue.
Announce we coming, if we announce we coming, you got time
so
to
so what?
Prepare.
You just got
to
take the L. Listen, you know what?
If
you
we announce we coming and you blowing your bullets through the door.
Yo, hold on. You should have been properly prepared. You should have been properly prepared before that. Like, that's what, you know what I'm saying? Like, you should be properly prepared before things of that. Like, listen, I've been privy to some things, you know, at work, and I've seen it. Like, preparation. I've seen things as a, wow, like, you guys are up 2 o'clock in the morning prepping, huh? And it's like, oh, yeah, well, listen, we've been prepping, like, for the past couple of weeks. You're trying to tell me that there was no one out there watching? There wasn't no one, you know, like looking for this dude's whereabouts? Listen,
you know,
this is
that's
New
what
York.
They're supposed to do.
Maybe,
aren't
maybe,
they supposed to scope
maybe,
out the place before time?
Well, you know, supposedly, but, you know, not everybody, I guess, police department has certain resources. And some people just want to be wild cowboys and go do what they want to do. I mean, my whole thing is this. I'm not taking anything away from their job. But once again, I'm looking at the whole issue of the no-knock warrant. I mean, I think it's a bad idea. You're talking about the element of surprise. Well, the element of surprise can still be had when a person doesn't know that you're following them or a person doesn't know that you're watching them. That's the true element of surprise. But to actually sneak in a home, once again, let's go back to the Breonna Taylor situation. She was in the bed sleep. She was in the bed sleep. Homeboy in the house. He wakes. Well, I don't know. I think he was watching TV or something. He hears someone downstairs. What is your first instinct?
Yeah.
Because I'm going to tell you what mine is. I'm going to tell you what mine is. You already know. I hear somebody outside my bedroom door. And I know my daughter ain't here. My daughter ain't nowhere around. So who else is it going to be?
I don't know.
So of course
I'm
going to react.
I beg to differ. Let me tell you, Brother B, you know I just moved into my house, right? And
okay.
My daughter spent the night out for the first time, right? And I have ADT along.
Mm-hmm.
And let's just say I have a gun, but I know I don't have a gun. And
okay.
The first time that she spent the night out, where do you, Brother B? I don't know who my mom, but everything sounds like a break-in. Everything.
Exactly.
I was like, who's there? My first reaction was, who's there? Right? I got ADT. The cops are going to be here any minute. Stuff like that. I can't tell you that if I had a gun, I was going to go socking the ball, ball, ball. I heard something out my door. That's just not my first reaction. My first reaction was to get a response if somebody is in my house. But that's nuts. Like, some people automatically going to go into shoot mode. If there is somebody, what you going to do, shoot 5 holes through the door to find out there ain't nobody?
Well, first of all, no. I mean, but listen. No. Well, the Breonna Taylor situation was different. Like, he came and he heard noise downstairs. He came out the bedroom. He saw people downstairs, and he shot. He fired. He physically saw someone. He just didn't know who they were. because they didn't announce themselves. So once again,
right.
you have a no-knock warrant. Listen, you come into my
right.
house, and I don't know if you're not announcing yourself.
After they get in, they're supposed to announce their
no.
they're supposed to identify themselves.
No.
As police officers.
If they see, listen, if they see someone, remember, it's a no-knock warrant, so they can enter. They can sneak in, but until they see someone, they would identify themselves or what? Because then you're giving up the element of surprise. So what was the purpose of the no-knock warrant if you're going to go in there shouting police? You're going to sneak in to shout police.
Right.
Nah.
Yeah,
so
that's
you're not
how
supposed
they
to do it like
it,
that.
Yep.
Yeah, that's you're not supposed to do that. So you're supposed to sneak in, and until you see someone, then you say, "Oh, police." But if you don't see anybody, you're not giving, you're not showing your hand. And that's and once again, that's my issue. Everybody's interpretation is different. Everybody's listen. Self-preservation, the first rule of natural law. So you can't tell me that you know survival instinct is not going to kick in. Now, you hear something in the house, Selena, maybe you are going to say, oh, I got ADT and I'm getting ready to call the cops. Well, basically, you just told if somebody was in the house, you just let them know where you're at. Please don't do that. Please don't ever do that. Like, don't give up your position or don't let somebody know that you're there. Because, you know, you have criminals out here that, listen, they want more than just goods.
Right.
They'll take you, your goods, and your life. So, you know, why? Nah, you can't put that out there like that. I mean, that may be your instinct, but listen, somebody else, they could go to leave out the room with a bat, a knife, or if somebody has a firearm, listen, that's their right. There's other places, you know, in the country where they have called the castle doctrine.
Yeah.
And where you are allowed, no matter what, you defend your castle. You have a right. You do not have to retreat or surrender while you're in the house. Somebody enters your home, you have every right to do what you need to do. And if someone presents deadly force to you, deadly force or deadly physical force, you have every right to reciprocate. Until the threat is terminated or the threat is stopped.
Mm-hmm.
So right. once again, my issue is it's not about color. It's not about, you know, law enforcement and black people and all this and that. It, once again, it's just about certain procedures and tactics to me that doesn't make sense. And it's like we've already seen it. And they're still doing it. And I just wanted to watch.
It's not about color for us because we're having this discussion. But best believe that when the media puts this out, they are. They're ruffling our feathers. Another black man, another black man, another black man. They ruffling our feathers. They want us to go out there and loot, show them the thugs we are, set the place on fire. You know, that's what it is because black people are only, you know, there's some people who do the research and understand that it's
sparked.
Right.
We're emotionally
there's some people
sparked.
Who do the research and understand that, you know, police mm-hmm. aren't perfect and they make mistakes. And unfortunately, you know, the media portrays it as it's only happening to black folks. And we are pissed. A couple of my friends was like, yo, they're going to burn Minneapolis down again. We tired of this. And I'm like, that's because they're only pushing it. As if it's only happening to black folks. And I'm saying it shouldn't be happening to nobody. Like, what do we need to do with our policing? What needs to change?
Right.
Because it's bad. It's getting bad. And black folks feel like they're being targeted, you know, and that it's happening intentionally. And that young man, to me, in my eyes, was in the wrong place at the wrong time.
All right. Well let's look at
it. I kind of felt that, too.
Yeah, no, and I do believe he was in the wrong place at the wrong time. It's sad, but once again, as from me reading, you know, the various articles, it seemed like the family is just really pressing that one issue, and it's the same. And I agree, it's the no-knock warrant.
Right.
It's like why are you using
it's
something
son,
that doesn't
would,
really
you
work.
You would be saying it too. If it's my
yeah,
son
exactly.
and my son is dead, I would be saying the same thing too. But let's also put that young man, Amir Locke, on a bed in a hotel room that wasn't under a homicide investigation, would police be doing a raid, a no-knock warrant on his hotel room, and would he have survived? Chances are he would have. He was in the wrong place at the wrong time with the wrong idiot cousin who clearly did something that deserved that type of attention to his house, and unfortunately, he had a gun on his chest.
And, okay, and I give you that. But I'm always, and I'm going to go back to, once again, the box situation with Breonna Taylor, where you had detectives lie to a judge to get the no-knock warrant. You see, there's a pattern, and that's the problem. It's the pattern that's
right.
still being, you know, followed. It's like, this will happen, and now it's happening again. Like, stop doing it. Because you know what? Let it have been a warrant where they just blew down the door or whatever or announced themselves police. See, that's the question. Would it have turned out differently? If they would have announced themselves, would it have turned out differently?
Maybe
we'll
he would
never
woke
know.
Up and shot
we'll
off his
know.
Gun.
If they announced police, I doubt it. He legally put in the paperwork to get a firearm.
And you hear police?
He startled. Yeah. But at the same time, I mean, listen, let me hear it. Oh, I'm not pulling out anything. Let me turn around and somebody coming. Oh, police. What do you think I'm going to do? I'm going to let them know first.
No,
I'm let
also
know. Yo,
take into consideration that his mother even said that he was worried about police interaction. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, she did.
I'm not going to front. The overwhelming feeling that I get when I get pulled over by police and I don't even have a gun.
Exactly.
The anxieties. I'm like, oh, my God. Like, any movement I do, oh, my God, what's going to happen if I say something the wrong way? Like, my whole
Channel
of Babylon tone shows up. Hi, how you doing, officer? Like, that ain't how I talk, but I feel like I got to do it because I don't need them to misunderstand anything that I'm saying or think I have an attitude or think that, you know, my tone is off.
Well, they're in their feelings. It's not about the job. It's them and their feelings. But how do you think I feel?
Well, it's
part of my job.
It's a
black man. Yeah, listen, I sometimes, it's gotten to a point, I used to be on pins and needles, but now I'm just like, listen, like, I haven't had those types of interactions because I know how to articulate myself. Also know how to diffuse a situation, you know, if one arises. I know what to say and what not to say. There's no purpose in me getting caught up in my emotions when I know that there's somebody else that's trying to emotionally charge the situation and turn it into something that it's not. And 9 times out of 10, when you're not on 10, if you're on 3, they can be on 10, but eventually they're going to come down to 3 because you're not giving them what they want. The problem is, people, whether black, Indian, white, whoever, sometimes you give these people what they want. And it's not about their job. Their job is, they can say, well, I'm just doing my job. But some of them, it's emotional, man. Some of these cats, they wear their heart on their sleeve. You say something wrong. They think about how they used to get bullied or how they pops used to smack their moms or their moms used to beat their pops. You know, they have these flashbacks. You know, they want to take the world down because of whatever messed up memories they have, or they want to play a hero. And sometimes it's not even about what it is. It's about something else. So once again, that's why I said sometimes it just goes into intent, because sometimes some people's intent is different. Not everybody reads the situation the same way. So, of course, when I'm out there doing what I have to do, listen, I keep it moving. I get pulled over. Listen, my ID is always on my neck. That's the first thing. It's right. The first thing you need to see is the ID on my neck. I had one cop tell me, I didn't see the ID on your neck. Like, you didn't see this white ID just hanging from my neck that said X, Y, and Z on it. Conversation kind of ended after that, and he said, you have a good night. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's like you have to keep a certain level of rationale. You have to. But a lot of people don't because, as you said, these confrontations with police, they, you know, they get some, you know, people get in their feelings. You know, people get nervous. And when you get nervous, sometimes that takes it to another level. But, you know, we got 14 minutes left. I was on Hot Rod, you know, Absolute Truth, Hot Rod, Sean Black, K-Dog. Yeah, he was on the show last night. We were talking about this Joe Rogan thing a little bit. And, here's the master of disaster now. Hot Rod.
Whoa.
Got anything to add before we jump into the next topic?
I'm still at Big Red's home in front of the door knocking with my no search warrant. Please open up the door, please, Big Red.
Can you open up the door, please?
Can you let our brother
in,
please?
As long as you got some sushi, I'll open up the door.
Never mind. Carry on, baby. Carry on.
It's not like it's not enough. That should be
Joe Rogan. Like I said last night, I never paid attention to the guy. I never even knew he was a comedian. I just know he was on a couple of shows, but like I said, I never really paid attention to him at all. Joe Rogan is in hot water with Spotify, and Spotify is in hot water because of Joe Rogan. Joe Rogan has really shown his hand to, he's a racist. He's been saying some real racial things, using the N-word and Planet of the Apes and black people. And, he's just kind of...
And he really don't think he's wrong. That's a crazy thing.
Nah.
But Joe Rogan's not wrong. He was being real to himself of who he really is. Is he wrong for that? It was not a problem 10 years ago. Why is it a problem now?
It's true.
I understand what you're saying, Big Red. But my thing is, if people say something in the past, it was okay back then. You know, we accept it. Now, oh my God, Big Red said, "Hot Rod is a bitch." 10 years later, I need to come back and sue you, or you call me a bitch because I'm emotionally deranged right now. Give me a break. That's all.
Right. I mean, I understand that. It's like, okay, we'll say with Whoopi Goldberg, she didn't even say anything racist, and look what they did to her. She didn't say anything racist. She didn't make a racist slur about anything. She didn't say any of that. But why is it she's getting scolded for that, and he is not? And he's saying every racist slur you could think of to say.
You already know the answers to that.
Right.
We don't need to get
she's black, she's black, and he's white. She's black, he's white, and she said something that Jews got offended.
Right.
The Jewish people got offended. That's what that really result, you know.
So when we get offended, it's supposed to be okay. When we get offended, so what are we supposed to do when we get offended?
Get
over it, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, I saw a show where it was a white commentator and a black female commentator. And the white man basically said, I don't think any language, any racial slur should be used, but what would you have him do? He's a comedian, and black people use it, so why can't he use it?
Mm-hmm.
You see, and I don't... Listen, it's not a reason. It's not a reason. Because you don't hear white people doing stand-up. I've listened to white stand-up, and I don't hear them saying crack or honky.
Yep, absolutely.
I don't hear them using any Italian slurs, any Jewish slurs. I don't hear none of that.
Love bringing us into the act all the time.
Exactly.
I wonder why for that.
And you know what? And this is one time I got to put it on the elders. Because the elders can say whatever they want to say about this generation and the usage of it, but who opened the door for it? The Dolomites, the Red Fox, the Richard Pryor. It was okay.
Yeah, but did you hear what Joe Rogan said? He tried to use that. He tried to use a black comedian saying, oh, well, they, you know, he tried to use, he said that, oh, well, Richard Pryor and this stuff. Oh, he had a whole album, this, that. Sir.
And,
yeah, he had a whole album.
But wait a minute. That's when the white people are going to be like, that's right. Case closed.
Yep, exactly.
That's what you got to do. They're going to say, oh, he's right. Case closed. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Well, Jay-Z said it. Jay-Z said it yesterday. Case closed.
True, but what did we mention last night on the show? You need someone like Archie Bunker, who's the biggest, that curse everybody out. That's how it might work out, you know. It won't be a racist, but big is okay. So imagine Archie Bunker today saying the same thing. Oh, people will have lost their mind. Even George Jefferson.
Exactly.
Calling people honky.
I was going to say
Now, I listen. Like I said, I don't listen to him, but as far as I know, because, you know, the media is up his ass right now, and Spotify, what, deleted 100 episodes only because, what, they got caught, or he got caught. They deleted 100 of his episodes. He only used the N-word. I don't know if I don't think he used any other, you know, racial slur for anybody else. Spanish, Italian.
I doubt
Jewish.
That.
I don't think he, because, you know what, it would have been on the radar. He would have been on a radar.
Oh, yeah. They definitely would have caught that. And I think, like I said, we are always the ones that, like, we're always the ones, the punching bag all the time. We are always
because we allow ourselves.
The punching bag all the time.
We allow ourselves.
Excuse me, Brother B. Or to your point, Brother B, if you crack up a joke about the gays or the Jews, you know all hell will break.
You're going down. Yeah, right. You might as well be on the next Spaceship X. And go to the moon. You might as well just leave the planet. You know what I'm saying? You can't make a joke. Like if you're not Jewish, you can't make a Jewish joke. Because I've heard Seinfeld say certain things, and he never used any slurs or anything like that. But he may have said a couple of things about his upbringing. But see, he can say that. No one else can say that.
True.
No one else can say
about your culture.
It's okay to make jokes about your culture.
It's common.
Yeah, this is true, but no one else can say it. Because, like, you know, I mean, there's other comedians out there that talk about, you know, oh, I grew up in a black neighborhood and I saw black people do this and black people do that. Or I grew up in a Spanish neighborhood and I saw Spanish people do this and Spanish people do that. But, you know, even some of them, oh, I grew up in a white neighborhood and I saw white people do that. But to other people, just really get into their feelings. And, you know, they're ready to just shut down your whole show because they don't like what you said because maybe they just don't like you.
Well, guess what? You say stuff that piss people off. I do it on a regular. Selena, Big Red, well, Big Red is every minute. We all say things that piss people off. It's a no-win situation. I'm sorry.
You know, Hot Rod.
Like my father always told me, you can't please everybody. You can't please everybody. That's the bottom line.
And this is true. And this is true. But you know what, Hot Rod, I will say this. The podcast is probably the final frontier for freedom of speech until Joe Rogan.
Yep.
Damn.
It wouldn't surprise me. Yeah. It's
so
probably
we'd be in front of you and I.
Yeah. Yeah. There's certain, you know what I'm saying? The podcast is like they have not, it's not regulated. So you can kind of get away and say certain things within reason or within a certain context.
Yes.
But this dude was just blatantly throwing around the N-word like, you know, he was part of the NWA group. Like, he was just throwing it around like wow. Like, he was going crazy with it.
But
yeah,
you know,
and I don't blame India. I don't blame India Ari. Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Yeah, very comfortable. And I don't blame India Ari for wanting to take her music off of there. I mean, I think a lot of African black artists should take their music
but
off of there.
But you know what,
just because
they're not, because most of the people that you see that are taking their music off there, it's the white artists. India Ari is the only black artist that I've heard that has taken, you know, like, taken her music off there. No, I haven't heard about anybody else.
Isn't that
the only reason why? The only reason why they're there's been a call to action on that, not just because of Neil Young and the issue that he had with Joe Rogan about the misinformation pertaining to COVID, but it's also because the artists are not getting their shit. You know, they're not getting a cut of the profits. Like, they're streaming the music, and these guys, these artists are getting, like, you know, pennies, as to where Spotify is making millions off these artists. And they're not getting their, you know, they're just due. So this is why the artists have been like, hey, listen, like, we need to pull our music off the streaming service. Like, all it takes is, listen, all it takes is one little situation to upset the other one. And like I said, Joe Rogan could have, you know, knocked the lid off, and next thing you know, people start looking at podcasts and like, hey, like, you know, how did he get away with saying this for all these years and no one ever said anything? Maybe we need to look into the whole podcasting and thing and put some regulations on it. And why can't you just not say it?
Like, what is it that you just can't, like, you know that you can't say it, so then just why not just don't say it?
Because he hides them, just like some people hide. Just like some people hide behind the badge, they hide behind the, I'm a comedian. It was a joke. I can say it.
Yeah, but why are we always a joke? Like, when did we become a gimmick or a joke or a trend? Or when is, because like I said, they love everything about us but don't like us. Like, that to me is like a mental illness. You like everything about us, but you don't like us.
But they love how we treat ourselves.
But they don't like us. Yeah.
But we treat ourselves as a joke. We don't take ourselves seriously. That's why a lot of people excel over us. A lot of people are more united than black people because black people don't take black people serious.
To your point, Brother B, on my block, like I told Sean Black the other day, but you know where I live, on the strip of Pennsylvania Avenue, all the stores on the strip are not owned by one black person. It's Latinos, Egyptians, and other Indian people. Not one person, black person owns the store, but they're all making money from us.
Of course.
You know,
of course.
It never fails, that concept. And you know there's a few Jews around here as well. They own buildings, they own stores, all making money from us.
Because we don't, all right, if you can't get the loan to get the property or get the lease, you wind up getting it, turn around and you don't get support from your own people.
The sad part is, if every black artist took their music off of Spotify, it would shut the business down. They would shut their business down. They would have to just wrap up and close it down. And it's just a shame that, you know, but how can many of us take it seriously when we spell that word out our damn selves on a regular basis? So now we're supposed to be
a problem.
And you're right about the absolute.
That's a problem.
You're
supposed to be offended now, as somebody else said. It's like it's hard to be offended when you hear the word because black people have made it.
900 times a day. Yeah, and they figure you're comfortable with it. They say it all the time, and then you know you have some black people like, well, it's a term of endearment for us. Okay, yeah, but you know what? Maybe you, once again, back in our day, and I say all of us on this panel is in that bracket where it's like our rappers were trying to get us and others to stop saying that word.
The crazy part is I seen a rapper today on Instagram try to explain it, right? And what he said is, if I grab my girl by the neck and say, come here, bitch, it could be seen as sexual. It could be seen as me. That's my girl. We in a relationship. It's seen as a sex act. But if a white boy run up to his girl and grab her by the neck and say, come here, bitch, then it's seen in a different way. And I'm like, how about nobody should be grabbing your girl by the neck saying, come here, bitch.
Exactly.
You nor him. Mm-hmm. But
yo,
he talked
we out of time.
Guy, and I'm like, there's no way to justify.
Right.
True. But, yo, we out of time.
That's true.
Thank you, Selena, Mika, Hot Rod, Absolute Truth, Monday night, 10 p.m., Hot Rod, K-Dog, Sean Black, and
thank
Big
you.
Red. Yo, we out. Everybody have a blessed and safe week.
The Sushi
and,
Queen.
Yeah, Sushi Queen, Big Red. Catch you next week, y'all. Later.
At the Sushi Bar.
Happy Valentine's Day, guys.
Later,
oh,
guys.
Yeah, happy Valentine's Day, lady.
Yeah, happy Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
Happy Sushi Day. That's what it is. Later, guys.
Bye.